Welcome back to the second half of The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Living a life immortal has been part of human fantasy from the very beginning, stories of Prometheus all the way to Highlander. There are some, those who refuse to concede immortality to fiction. They want it to be real, and they're willing to go to extremes to get some. And today, medical science holds the promise of youth extension and body repair. Some say we are approaching the dawning of a new age of the anti-age. And writing a book about that, Alan Leith Goldner, he's written the book, The Book of Immortality, The Science, Belief, and Magic Behind Living Forever. Welcome to The Source, Alan.
Thank you. Great to be
Adam.
Here.
Adam, and so I want to hear from our callers. Call in. The number is 614-8980. What do you think about immortality? Would you want to live to be 150, 200, 300 years? So, Adam, as you write the book about immortality are people out there, are they really striving? Are they really working hard to do, they're doing things to themselves to live longer, to have youth extension? What are they doing?
Well, there's two different kind of situations that are happening. One is what's called radical life extension. And in that department, you have people who are working on increasing human lifespan through a variety of interventions. And the idea is that whether it's through pharmaceuticals or through some other form of medical treatments, we'll find a way to prolong our lives. That's one thing. But then there's also another host of people who are interested in the idea of actually never dying, of living forever, of attaining what they call physical immortality. And part of the way that they think that we'll accomplish that is by uploading our minds into computers. And then no matter what happens to our bodies, we'll be able to download the contents of our memories into other kind of clone bodies, and in effect will become a form of cyborg. So that's what's going on.
That's pretty extreme. I always tell people, if you want to live longer, the best advice you could have is to wear your seatbelt. So some people, they want to live longer, but they forget some of the simple things.
Yeah, I mean, we all need to eat our vegetables and exercise and take care of ourselves and work on our health. I think that most people accept the reality of death, that at a certain point when our time comes, we're going to have that final moment of life, which is dying. But these physical immortalists, which is a small, very fringe part of society, are people who think that death isn't necessarily a certainty. They think that death isn't going to happen to them. And they think that those of us who do think that death is real are what they call deathists. So they would say that deathism is something that needs to be eliminated, just like sexism or racism. It's very interesting. It's a very warping way of looking at things. You know, they find it offensive, the idea that we think we're going to die, and they're working on trying to change that form of outlook. Now, I don't agree with that personally, but I do find it interesting that some people are espousing that viewpoint.
And I guess that would be Aubrey de Grey.
Yeah, I think he would be one of them. He would be among the radical life extensionists. He wrote a book called Ending Aging, and his idea is that through a series of different kind of interventions, there would be a way to end aging. I guess another way of saying that is that there might be some sort of fountain of youth out there, or some sort of way of intervening in the processes of senescence. Most people in the scientific community would dispute that assertion, but he is somebody who is very intense and devout in his belief that there is a way around what most of us would consider reality.
And he has an interesting theory that we are approaching sort of an event horizon in time, that we will hit like some sort of breakthrough that will allow people to have maybe an extra 40 years of youth. And then during that extra 40 years, there will be other breakthroughs that will continue to push the boundaries of youth and life extension. And so that if you can live long enough to enjoy that very first breakthrough, you could ride a wave of scientific development so that you could live a very long time and with a very high quality of life.
All we need to do is give him money, right?
Yes, and buy his products.
I mean, it's such a tempting supposition. It really is something that that sounds so wonderful. You know, all we need to do is live long enough to live forever. Sure. I mean, for millennia, people have been selling ideas like this, the idea that there is a way to live forever. One of my favorite examples is the example of Chinese emperors who were taking potions and elixirs made out of mercury, and they died consuming these things. They died taking the very things that were supposed to make them live forever. For now, what Aubrey de Grey is proposing is purely speculative. You know, we can talk about the science behind it, and we can argue that, which is what he would love to do. But theoretically, it's simply an idea. This stuff is not happening. He is pushing for it to happen. He would love for it to happen, but it isn't necessarily going to happen. And most people aren't aware that there are even people trying to make this happen. So radical life extension is something that only 7% of Americans are very familiar with. Most of us have no idea what's going on. And part of the reason that I wrote this book is to try to kickstart a conversation about the bioethics of desiring immortality and what is behind it. So it's an interesting conversation.
But there is actual science being done in this area. You mentioned rapamycin a couple of times in your book, which is a compound that has been found to, inhibit the immune system. And people are very excited about what it could do for age extension in humans.
People are very excited about the possibility of extending our health span, of staying healthy longer. And it's very possible that there will be some serious breakthroughs that do allow us to somehow maybe live a little longer, maybe live a little healthier as we age. I think that for now, it is very important to remember that there is not a single demonstrable way of increasing our lifespan. Human lifespan cannot be provably extended. There's nothing we can do to live longer yet. Sure, we can affect lifespan in simple organisms, but there is not a single thing we can do to live longer at this point yet that is provable.
A lot of people are excited about calorie restriction, caloric restriction, as a way to slow down the metabolism and to keep your body from wearing out.
Yeah, that's a fascinating one. There's some long-term studies going on right now. It seems that organisms that are sort of on death's door have this defense mechanism that kicks in, allowing them to live longer. And one of the ways to activate that defense mechanism is to basically starve yourself, to get just enough caloric intake to get through the day, but remain hungry all the time. And if you do that, you seem to turn on certain genetic responses. And what scientists are studying and what they're hoping they can find is a way to target those responses using pharmaceuticals. Now, the greatest hope in that department is something called sirtuins. And GlaxoSmithKline, the major pharmaceutical giant corporation, has invested close to $1 billion at this point, if not more, in trying to develop drugs that will target that, which would allow us, in effect, to eat as many cheeseburgers as we want and still get the benefits of caloric restriction.
Well, we're talking about
being
yes, the conversation is going to continue. We're going to take a quick break. We're talking about the Book of Immortality, the science, belief, and magic behind living forever. If you've got a question about how you can tap into immortality, give us a call. Or if you have an idea, if you think it's wrong, you think that we people should just live only so long and that's it, give us a call. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. This is The Source on KSTX 89.1 FM. This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. I'm speaking with Adam Leith Goldner. He's the author of The Book of Immortality. We were talking about caloric restriction and how that could possibly help folks live longer, youth extension. And there have been conventions of people who are into caloric restriction. And when they have the closing banquet, it's a pretty miserable banquet.
Oh,
I mean, it's like a handful of rice. Everybody go to town on that.
I've heard them referred to as the skinnies. You know, I think we all try to find some way of contending with mortality and trying to make sense of it. And for some people, that means caloric restriction. For others, it means believing in an institutional religion. Whatever it may be, whatever way we have of making sense of death, I think is valid and is something that is deserving of respect, no matter how out there it may seem.
But the folks who are into this are way into it. They're committed to it. There's a desperation about how much they want this to happen.
Yeah, I mean, it really depends. You know, some of them are, like, their whole life is defined by their quest to live forever. You know, cryonicists and certain physical immortalists, yeah, they really, really take it seriously. And it's the thing that makes all the colors come into focus. You know, it's what makes life make sense. Most of us aren't like that. Most of us just kind of, you know, grapple with it in various ways. Like we have uncertainty, or we have religion, or we, you know, whatever it may be. What's interesting to me is that even in this supposedly secular time, so many of us, the figures are either 75% or 80% or 95%, depending on the survey, so many of us believe in the possibility of life after death. Even if we love science and we know how important it is, some of us still think that when we die, there will be something to come. And that's I find that so fascinating, and that's part of what I explored in this book.
All right, let's go to the phones. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. Patrick is on the line. Patrick, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hi there.
So, y'all, we're talking about extending human life, and I feel that, you know, time will give us all of our answers. And so, going on that, eventually we might have the possibility of living forever. How would that affect our mental state? Because, you know, as we are right now, we view, like, the year as a, you know, set period of time. But if you live forever, wouldn't your perception of time become quite skewed?
Okay, Patrick, that's an interesting question. Let's see what Adam has to say.
I think that's one of the beautiful things about this topic is how it brings up the grandest themes and the big questions. And time certainly is one of the ones that we often end up grappling with when we think about the possibilities of immortality. And I think, you know, time is such a fascinating thing. As Einstein showed, time is relative. Like, how does time move for an ant compared to how time moves for a human? And that, I think it was Gödel who proved that time doesn't even exist. Like, time is just this human construct, and advanced physicists seem to agree. You know, time is this illusion. And so what would happen if we really could just live forever? I mean, what would happen to our perception of time? I have no idea. I think it's something that's really fun to think about, and I think that's what's really fun about the kind of metaphysical exercises that come along with pondering the nature of immortality. It really takes your mind to some special places. I love that. I love philosophy.
They say that as you get older, your perception of time does speed up. They've done experiments with people as older, you know, they tell them, okay, signal a minute. And, you know, when you think a minute has elapsed, and they have shown that as you get older, that span of time gets shorter and shorter.
That's fascinating. Another thing that they've shown in some recent neuroscientific experiments is that our own perception of reality is always like just a little beat off. You know, like the time it takes for our brain to process what it's seeing, there's a lag, there's a slight delay. And that also opens up so many interesting questions. You know, like, what does it mean to be to have this slight time delay between us and reality? And what does it mean to actually, like, tap into the real moment somehow? Like, can we do that? I think it's fascinating.
Back to the phones. Daniel is on the line. Daniel, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you. My comment there, and question more than anything, really is the organic evolution of how we've deemed mortality and how this would affect, for example, if we do live for 150, 200, 300 years. How does that deem our religions that we've developed in the past, and how our religion has evolved to what it is today? I just find it fascinating that now there's a sect of individuals who are mortalists. I'm not too sure how I would coin it, but Is it something else where we're just, as a society, evolving to something else because that's kind of how we've been pushed to believe? And so it might just be a different way of believing on what we do on Earth and how that will affect us.
All right, Daniel, thank you for that call. So, Adam, how has our religion kept up with our quest for immortality?
Well, religion is always about the quest for immortality. Every religion is always a way that to help us think about what death means. It always gives us stories that help make sense of death. Like, it gives us actual concrete visions of what could come in the beyond, whether it's heaven and hell or reincarnation or who knows. There's so many possible eschatological endpoints that religions have provided us with. And what I think is fascinating about the desire for physical immortality, we could call these people immortalists, that these people are people who don't care about traditional religion. And they've dispensed with that long ago. I mean, they're people who love science in this really radical way, right? They're so willing to give up on what it means to be basically flesh and blood to evolve. They would give up their humanity to become this new form of organism, this cybernetic person that is plugged into the. You know, cybernetic matrix, like who knows what that will really mean. But these are people who don't really care about traditional religions and the consolations of afterlife ideologies. What have those traditional religions done to keep up with physical immortality? Nothing. I don't think they care. I mean, I think it's just two different belief systems. I think they're very separate. And I think if you asked most religious leaders what they think about the idea of physical immortality, they would snort and they would say, you know, what hubris to imagine. But for them, their whole system of making sense of the world is conditioned by the idea of an end point. And physical immortalists, their whole outlook is the precise opposite. So it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to see as things go on how the conversation will evolve.
All right, Barry's on the line. Barry, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Well, thank you very much for taking my call. I find this very fascinating, the scientific aspect of it, the religious aspect of it, but I am a practical individual. How the heck are we going to survive financially? We can't even survive financially now. Social Security sure isn't going to take care of us until we're 200.
All right, Barry, that's a good point. Thanks for calling in. So how would people survive? Or, you know, I would imagine, though, if people did live much, much longer than we'd have a population problem.
It's a very good question. I mean, these are part of the sorts of questions that need to be raised as awareness is being raised about the possibility of this. Now, let's remember that we're still in a purely speculative place. There is no way of doing this yet, but there are some seriously wealthy people out there who are pushing for this to happen. And the quest for longevity has gained respect in academic institutions over the past decade as well. So at Harvard and MIT and other Ivy League institutions, there are important molecular biologists who are working on trying to unravel the basic mechanisms behind aging. We still don't understand how it works, and we don't necessarily have any way of affecting it. That may change. That may change any time from a few months from now to a few decades to a few centuries from now. It may change. We don't know. It's in the future. So for now, it's speculative. But questions like that, you know, practical questions are important. That, like, we need to be talking about this. And so there needs to be a conversation about the bioethics here and also the morality of this, the desirability. How do we feel about it? There was an interesting survey released a week ago by the Pew Research Council where they asked Americans for the first time how they feel about the possibility of extending life. If it were possible, would they accept medical treatments? And the majority of Americans said no. So it's interesting. It's an interesting conversation, and it's just getting started in a way.
You know, if they were to come up with a pill tomorrow that would give people a life extension, who would get it? I mean, it's not something that I'm sure would be very expensive. It wouldn't go to everyone. I don't know if it would be covered by Obamacare. It's just because who is entitled?
I think most people who were surveyed, they were asked a question about this. You know, who would get this? Who would have access to this treatment? Would it be only the super wealthy? And I think most of us suspect that, yes, this would be something for you know, at least at the beginning, it would be for the uber wealthy. Even Aubrey de Grey admits that in his book. You know, it would start, you know, and then, of course, there would be some way, like, as we move forward, for it to become available to the common person. But I wrote a piece that was published today on the website The Daily Beast, and it was about the immortality financiers, the billionaires who want to live forever, and they're out there.
I remember the old 1970s TV show, The Immortal, one of these Quinn Martin productions about a guy they were hunting for the guy who could give them immortality. All right, this is The Source on KSTX. Definitely want to thank Adam Goldner for talking to us. He's written the book of Immortality, The Science, Belief, and Magic Behind Living Forever. Tomorrow we're going to be talking about anger management. You want to tune in for that. This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Thanks for listening.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. David Martin Davies is executive producer and host. Paul Flav is the show's producer. Management and oversight comes from VP of Programming Wayne Coble. Chris Udaly is the TPR web editor. Support for The Source comes from the contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.